This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين أما بعد أيها الإخوة السلام عليكم ورحمة الله ونسأل الله تعالى أن يغفر لنا ذنوبنا ويكفر عنا سيئاتنا نسأله بعلم نافع ورزق واسع وعليه نتوكل وإليه المصير اللهم اغفر لنا وارحمنا أنت مولانا فنعم المولى ونعم النصير اللهم أصلح ديننا الذي هو عصمة أمرنا وأصلح لنا دنيانا التي فيها معاشنا وأصلح لنا آخرتنا التي إليها معادنا واجعل الحياة زيادة لنا في كل خير والموت راحة لنا من كل شر اللهم يا رحمن يا رحيم فاغفر لنا ورحمنا وتقبل منا إنك أنت الغفور الرحيم وصل اللهم على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين Praise be to Allah, we praise Him, send peace and praise on His final messenger Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم. We ask Allah for useful, beneficial knowledge and understanding and wide sustenance. We are utterly dependent on Allah, and to Him is indeed our goal. I hope you're all well, and we carry on with hadith number 2. Last time I think we did session 3 for hadith number 2, and we carry on with that. We call, of course, the hadith of Jibreel alayhi salam, which is hadith number 2 in An-Nawwiz Arba'een. A summary in a few moments of what we covered last time. Last time we went beyond the various narrations of the hadith, the context of the hadith, when that particular one, which An-Nawwiz mentions of Abdullah ibn Umar's riwayah from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, from his father to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, has its own context, as we said, people from Basra turning up because of Ma'bud al-Juhani, who says something about Qadr, as we mentioned last time. The issue was to do with Qadr, and they met Abdullah ibn Umar, Tabi'een, two of them, at the Haram in Mecca, and he's the one who narrates this in the context of what they said to him. And I went all through that in the first session, in fact. The last time we talked a little bit about Qadr. I'm going to add a little bit to that, what Qadr was and what the issue was with those like Ma'bud al-Juhani and those Qadariyah I talked about last time, what their idea was about Qadr. We talked also about the issue of Iman and Islam, because this has big debates between the ulama, as I mentioned last time, how they define Iman and how they define Islam, and when they come to Iman, what they mean by that. There was various differences, technical differences in essence that I mentioned last time. The reality is they're using terms, and the only people who really differed with the majority in regards to Iman and its definition, which I mentioned last time, was the Hanafiya, who decided to divide Iman into Iman and Taqwa, whereas the majority of the ulama from Sahaba and Tabi'een and beyond took Iman as the overarching thing, as I mentioned the last time, that they saw Iman as a qawl, amal, and tasdeeq bil qalb, what is firm in the heart and the statement from the tongue, qalb, lisan, and amal. But Hanafiya said, no, it's just what is in the heart, and they added confirmation, shahada, with the tongue. The rest, they said, a'mal is under taqwa. But the evidence from Quran and Hadith, how the Prophet used it, how the Quran used the word, the term iman, is against, not against, because taqwa also comes under that anyway. So they're not far off, it's just technical. But the word iman, as I said last time, has really the element of under it, included in it. A quantitative, you could say, what they say, aqidah. You know, when we talk about aqidah, which was a term coined later, it doesn't happen from Quran and Sunnah at the time of the Prophet and the Sahaba. But if we want to use a term from latter day scholars, aqidah was like, what do we believe in? Listing the things that we believe in. Yeah, we know and believe in these things. So the articles of faith, like, is the aqidah. That's part of iman, but also iman is a qualitative iman. Iman that which goes up and down, which I mentioned last time, which is a position of the majority of the ulama. And Hanafiya was that it's taqwa that goes up and down, not iman. So a technical difference, but I think I'm with the majority on this, on what they say. We talked about Shafi'iyah, how they, and how Abu Hamid al-Ghazali, from the Shafi'iyah, the great Imam Ghazali, and how he tried to justify the Shafi'i's position on when they said, I am mu'min, they would say, Insha'Allah. And we looked at that, and their arguments for that, and to be honest, I found their arguments weak. And the evidence they used to try and justify that was not really anything to do with arrogance, if somebody says, I'm a believer, or anything to do with saying Inshallah, because it's something for the future, which is where Inshallah is really used. When I'm saying I'm mu'min, it is not to do with arrogance. It's not something event that's going to take place in the future. I am going to be mu'min Inshallah. Then fair enough, you can say that. That's some of the arguments they used and the evidences. So the best is, it's fine, as the rest of the ulama, excluding the Shafi'i, say, it's fine to say I'm mu'min. In fact, others like Hanafiya and others had a go at the Shafi'i and saying, oh, look at these people. They're not even sure if they're believers, because they say Inshallah. Yeah, so this is a debate, that's a classical debate we deliberated on last time as well. In regards to Qadr, what I mentioned last time, and I want to add a little bit to that, that if you remember, I said that Qadr is both the knowledge and power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It includes his knowledge and his full power. Complete power and control. Qadr is, in fact, in a knowledge sense, if you look at it, from ilm side, is anything beyond the capacity of human beings, because we think we're so clever, we know so much. Yeah. And all that we don't know, only Allah knows, is Qadr. And that is vast, infinite, actually. So vast. From knowledge point of view, all that is Qadr. In other words, Qadr is ilmul ghayb. So to try and understand Qadr or Qadr, remember both those terms are correct in Arabic language. Qadr or Qadr, both have the same meaning. So this Qadr is the knowledge and power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. From his power, it's his decree. He has complete control and power. And within that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us a small area about which he's examining us. That he's examining us in. And that is our choice of what we decide to do. And I said to you last time that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knowing doesn't change the fact that we have a choice. Whether to stand up, to sit down, to go this way or that way. Yeah. No human being feels, oh, he's making me do this. Yeah. Even though the mushrikeen tried to use that. Yeah. To do bad or to do shirk, Allah made us do it. Yeah. Yeah. This is what we said, Jabba. The idea of making Qadr into Jabr, that Allah's forcing everybody to do it, so we're not answerable. If we're forced into doing something, we won't be answerable for it, by definition. It's what we make a choice with. So that's just to add to what I said. Laylatul Qadr, Inna anzalnahu fi laylatul qadr. Surely we have sent it down. The Quran, of course, Allah SWT is talking about on the night of Qadr. Qadr, they say night of power, probably not the best translation. Night of decree would be better. Night of decree is a better translation of laylatul qadr. So the way you see night of power, it's not really what it's talking about. Kulli amr, all decrees are made. For that particular year, that's the idea, in that night. Allah's, so it's not really to do with, it's that part of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's qadr, knowledge, and his decree, which is part and parcel of his qadr. Qadr is interesting because it's decree of Allah, knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, for example, in regards to that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for example, he mentions in the Quran that not even a leaf does fall. Not even a leaf falls anywhere that Allah is aware of, fully aware of. There isn't even a mustard seed, a seed in darkness hidden. Anywhere. He has full knowledge of everything, and land and sea, deep inside the earth, in the deepest recesses, caves that we're discovering now, underground, and rivers underground, and they marvel at what's going on and how they're lit up inside, which we're discovering now. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala known them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala known about them since He created. So that's the idea Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives in the Quran of His vast knowledge. This is part of His qadr. Not a leaf does fall that Allah doesn't know about. So that's one aspect of it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions about in Surah Al-Hadid that before anything comes to pass, nothing comes to pass except that which has been written already before it comes to pass. Qabla an nabraha, before we make it come to pass. That it is written with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Written means Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows, it's His knowledge. And I said to you last time, to limit Allah's knowledge is to take something away from the definition of God. Like Qadariya said, and Mu'tazila went down the same road as well. So they are Qadariya by definition as well. Not Qadariya, Qadariya. Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah are not Qadariya. Qadariya, a few kind of groups or ideas that came, which went off the real Quran and Sunnah idea of Qadr. So Mu'tazila was one of them, saying that Allah doesn't know about something that's going to happen until we do it. Subhanallah. As I said to you last time, this is batil, this is false, this is wrong. And this is what Abdullah ibn Umar was objecting to when he narrated this hadith. This is why he narrated the hadith, long hadith of Jibreel, in which he mentioned Iman. The Prophet ﷺ saying, when he's asked from Jibreel, Akhbirni anil Iman. And in it he mentioned, and tu'mina bil qadr, khairihi wa sharri. Because that's what they had the problem with. It is to believe. Part of the element of belief in Iman is to believe in Qadr, the Allah's decree, the good of it and the evil of it, that Allah decrees. Because people have a problem, why did Allah create Iblis? It's the same issue. But do we say now that Allah didn't create Iblis? So who created him then? People say, why did Allah create Iblis? Well, that's none of your business. Allah does what He wills, part of to test you. Why did Allah create dunya then, where there's hardship and difficulty, and it's not like paradise? Why didn't He just give us paradise, which is what people are mostly after? They want this place where there's no racism, everything's equal, everybody's happy, no wars, Nothing wrong and bad is going on. We do as we wish. We get what we desire. What's that? That's paradise. But you want it on earth. Earth isn't a place for paradise. Yeah, because Iblis is still around. Iblis will be finished when Jannah comes. Yeah. So the same idea of why evil's around is linked with then, if you're going to question why evil's around, then you have to question why Iblis was created and who created him. Now, anybody who would say that Allah didn't create Iblis, this is kufr. Listen. So this is why Qadr idea is very much linked with that. Or how can evil happen? Well, because Iblis was created and you decide to follow him. That's why evil can happen. You're being tested for that. Yeah. So to question evil being allowed to happen by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is kufr. It's kufr in Qadr. Iman bil Qadr, khayrihi wa sharrihi. And about Qadr, and Tirmidhi, Imam Tirmidhi al-Jami' includes this hadith under his Iman bil Qadr, his chapter of Qadr. And it's an interesting hadith in which he mentions that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he created Adam, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, when he created Adam, he stroked his back and all the future progeny of Adam, all his future generations, flowed out. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gathered all of them in front of Adam and showed them the gathering of all. And he said, who are these people? He said, these are all your generation, your children to come. This is hadith which is authentic in Jami' al-Tirmidhi. And Tirmidhi says, hadith hasan al-sahih. And then Adam alayhi salam notices amongst all this gathering a young man, and he has some radiance between his eyes. And he picks him out and says, Ya Allah, who is this person? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, this is from your progeny and generation, somebody who will come in time to come, whose name is Dawood. Dawood. And he says, and then he's told, when he asks about his age, the hadith mentions, he's told that his age will be, meaning age for his death, will be 60 years. So Adam says, Ya Allah, take 40 years from my age and give it to Dawood alayhi salam. Give it to Dawood alayhi salam. So that is what he's done. Then the Prophet ﷺ says, so when the angel of death comes to Adam now to take him, to end his life, Adam alayhi salam says to the angel, why have you come 40 years early? It's not time for me to go yet. So he's told that you gave 40 years, remember, to your son Dawood. So the Prophet ﷺ said, then what does Adam do? He says, Nasiya Adam wa nasiyat dhurriyatu wa jahada Adam wa jahada dhurriyatu. He said, Adam then rejects, he said, no, I didn't give 40 years of my life to him. Okay, that's what he says, Adam. That's why the Prophet said, so Adam forgot and his progeny will also forget, insan. And Adam argued and rejected that he actually ever did it. And his progeny, his children, will be the same as well. Okay? So this hadith is to do with Qadr, because it was decreed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala about the age, okay, of Dawood, etc. And that's why it's included in Qadr. Yeah. Another hadith which is included by Bukhari Muslim to do with Qadr as well, which is an interesting one, is that the Prophet ﷺ said that Musa alayhi salam had an argument with Adam. Now we don't know when it takes place, or when it will take place, or when it took place, or where it took place. But this is authentic, it is in the Bukhari Muslim. The Prophet ﷺ reports, he says, Musa argued with Adam. He said to Adam, O Adam, are you not our father, who Allah created with his own hand and shaped him? Yeah? And despite that, you're the one who who committed sin and got us out of paradise. So he's having a go at him. Okay. Are you not the one, you know, who committed the sin and who we are now disappointed with because you got him out of paradise? So what did Adam say in response? Adam says, "Oh Musa, are you not the one who Allah spoke to, specifically chose and spoke to, and also who Allah wrote on the alwah, on the tablets, by his own hand, the scripture and guidance Allah wrote by his own hand. Yeah, are you not that Musa? And when did he write that on the tablets, this guidance, according to your Torah that you received?" So Musa alayhi salam says, 40 years before he created you, before he created Adam. Okay? So Adam says now he's got him, you see. He said, "So did you not read in that Torah, which was written 40 years before my creation, that Adam was going to sin?" Adam was going to sin. Yeah? In other words, that was what was decreed. Yeah? It's gone. So why are you blaming me now? Because he's saying, idea is, you're blaming me and I asked for forgiveness and Allah already forgave me as well. So why are you having a go at me? Yeah. In other words, that's what was already in the decree, that what was written. He's not saying I was forced to sin. Yeah. But his idea is that you will find that I asked for forgiveness and forgiveness was accepted. Yeah. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, three times, Adam alayhi salam won the argument with Moses. Adam alayhi salam won the argument with Moses. Qadr is an interesting topic. One or two more reports I want to mention before we move on from it. One is the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said in authentic hadith that in the du'a wal bala la ya'talijan bayn as-sama'i wal ard. Surely the du'a going up and the bala coming down, the difficulty coming down, that's the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's the qadr. And du'a going up, they wrestle with each other between the heavens and the earth. What do we understand by that? Our du'a, in other words, if you want to look at superficially, what can change qadr? One of the things? Du'a. Du'a. But the reality is, can it really change qadr?
No.
How and why?
So what's already said is qadr that you'd make du'a.
So du'a is qadr. Actually, du'a is qadr. He already knows. Glory be to him. That doesn't stop us making the du'a. Does it? You don't think, hang on, Allah already knows I better not make the du'a. What kind of rubbish is that? It makes no difference to us. I still want to make the du'a because, that can change the bala, the calamity I'm going to face. The du'a can take me out of it or prevent it, can it not? Yeah. That is what's already decreed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I'm not being forced to make du'a by Allah. You know, when I make du'a, I'm thinking, Allah's making me do this. Is he? We never feel that. So, and neither do I go, right, I'm not making du'a. You don't do that, do you? Yeah. So that's to do with qadr again. Yeah. The wrestling, it's both are qadr. Qadr going up and qadr coming down. And Allah's decreed that you're going to make the du'a. And whether he's going to accept the du'a for that particular thing you're asking for, or going to replace it with something else in this world or in the hereafter, isn't it? So how he answers it is another aspect of his decree and his power and his qadr. Another hadith of the Prophet ﷺ said that one of the things which increases the lifespan of somebody is what? Keeping the family ties. Is that changing qadr? Again, it's not, is it? Because you keeping a family ties is also part of the qadr. But all these things, these statements in the hadith, what are they actually telling you? Why are they being re-informed of this?
To remind Muslims about their own free will and their own actions. Just because they don't know what Allah's predestined, they should still strive as much as possible, not leave it to.
It's encouraging us to make dua, to do good, encouraging us to keep the family ties, which are all part of Amal al-Salih, isn't it? That's the encouragement there. That look, you can even change your lifespan and what's going to come in, even in life of bala, by your dua and your deeds. Yeah. So there seems to be a link, but both is qadr. It's not countering the idea of qadr, that we're somehow inventing qadr. So when people say you make your own destination, after we heard that, and it's often those who are disbelievers, no, you make your own destiny, because they're trying to reject predestination, which is not a very good description of qadr actually in English. Because predestination is almost like the idea of Allah being Jabbar, controlling, He's forcing everything to happen. So they went against that, and you'll see in films and in stories and novels and people saying, I make my own destiny. But actually, you making dua, you keeping the family ties and good deeds is making your own destiny, isn't it? But reality is, you are in a sense, there's right in what that statement is, and there's wrong in it as well, isn't there? It's partially correct, because I'm making dua. I'm doing good deeds. Yeah, that will have an impact on my destiny. True? But all of it, in the end, is known and decreed and controlled by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You must have that element to it. So the wrong side of it is to say, I. Because actually, there's no I without Him. Glory be to Him. True? So when somebody says that, actually, there's an element of good. And what I'm trying to point out, there's an element of truth in it as well. Yeah. So from religion, you don't want to go the other way. And those who went down the element, that line, the mushrikeen, for example, and others who may have come after and said, we are jabbari, we are mujbar, we are being forced to do everything, like robots walking around. Allah's making us do this. If Allah wants us to be good, He'll make us do good. No, this is nonsense. Yeah. Now, so that's enough really about qadr. Remember last time I said about Iman and Islam, Ibn Rajab had the best explanation for it, that really they're interchangeable. Iman and Islam are used interchangeably. When they come together, then we can differentiate between how the hadith of Jibreel, because they were both there, differentiate between the articles of faith and then Islam as the actions and doings. Yeah, but when they come on their own, Islam can mean Iman and Amal, and Iman can mean Iman and Amal. And tons of evidence for Iman, meaning Iman and Amal, are there in the Quran and Sunnah. Some I mentioned last time. Like Allah SWT saying, إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الَّذِينَ إِذَا ذُكِرَ اللَّهُ وَجِلَتْ قُلُوبُهُمْ وَإِذَا تُلِيَتْ عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتُهُ زَادَتْهُمْ إِيمَانًا وَعَلَى رَبِّهِمْ يَتَوَكَّلُونَ الَّذِينَ يُقِيمُونَ الصَّلَاةَ وَمِمَّا رَزَقْنَاهُمْ يُنْفِقُونَ أُولَئِكَ هُمُ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ حَقًّا. I mentioned that last time. This ayah is clearly talking still about Iman all the time, saying believers are only those, mu'minun, those with Iman are only those who, when Allah is mentioned, their hearts start to shake. That's quality of Iman. That's not the articles of faith, or the Aqidah, belief in angels, books, you know, like a rule book that you're just reading out. That's something happening inside. Wajilat qulubuhum, that's Iman. Yeah. And when his ayah are recited on them, زادتهم إيمانا, increases them in إيمان. So now we don't go from 6 articles of faith, belief in angels, Allah, angels, messengers, books, qadr, and akhir. We don't add to it. When it says زادتهم إيمانا, it doesn't mean to say now we believe in 12 things, does it? So this is against the idea of Hanafiya saying no, Iman is just that, those beliefs. No, Iman saying it's increasing. They say taqwa increases. No. Saying Iman, you don't need to. Taqwa is also included in Iman. Yeah. You can use taqwa as well, but you should use Iman as well. You don't say one or the other. We accept taqwa, but you have to accept Iman goes up and down. Quran is saying it. زادتهم إيمانا وعلى ربهم يتوكلون. And they are utterly those who are dependent on their Lord. And it carries on. Those who, مؤمنون, those who perform, establish the salah, and they spend from وَمِمَّا رَزَقْنَاهُمْ يُنْفِقُونَ. This is actions and behavior. That's not just Iman here, is it? What does Allah say after that? أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ حَقَّ. He mentions it again. After starting with إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ, now Allah SWT says, أُولَٰئِكَ, such are those who are مؤمنون. Yeah, in truth, in reality, حَقَّ. They are the ones. So it's all to do with behavior here as well. Allah SWT is saying, interesting ayah, Surah Hujurat, a couple of ayahs. Allah SWT says, قَالَتِ الْأَعْرَابُ آمَنَّا. I didn't have time last time to mention it, but it's a good one to mention. And the ulama used this as an evidence to show, look, difference in Iman here. قالت الأعراب آمنا, that the Arab, the Bedouin Arab said, we have believed. قل لم تؤمنوا, say you have not really believed. ولكن قولوا أسلمنا, but instead say we have submitted. وَلَمَّا يَدْخُلِ الْإِيمَانُ فِي قُلُوبِكُمْ. Iman has not yet entered your hearts. فِي قُلُوبِكُمْ وَإِنْ تُطِيعُ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ. But if you obey Allah and His Messenger, لَا يَلِدْكُمْ مِنْ أَعْمَالِكُمْ شَيْئًا. Allah will not let go to waste any of your good deeds. They will not be just wasted or put aside. لا يلدكم من أعمالكم شيئا. I think إن الله غفور رحيم. Surely Allah is most forgiving, most merciful. Then Allah SWT said, إنما المؤمنون الذين آمنوا بالله ورسوله. Believers are only those. And here, notice, Allah SWT says, believe إنما المؤمنون الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. He repeats the same. If they're believers, why آمَنُوا again? Because he's talking about quality and linking Iman with something more than just Iman here. إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ. Believers are only those who believe, really believe in Allah. And how is that shown and exemplified? الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا بِاللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ ثُمَّ لَمْ يَرْتَابُوا. They have no doubts. That's still inside. ثُمَّ لَمْ يَرْتَابُوا. لَكِنْ after that, وَجَاهَدُوا بِأَمْوَالِهِمْ وَأَنفُسِهِمْ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. Now he's talking about عمل الجوارح, about deeds that we're doing, actions and behavior, isn't it? So it's come out from the heart and tongue and gone beyond to أعمال. Still talking about Iman. وَجَاهَدُوا بِأَمْوَالِهِمْ وَأَنفُسِهِمْ. They strive with their wealth and themselves in the way of Allah. Striving is behavior, isn't it? وَجَاهَدُوا بِأَمْوَالِهِمْ وَأَنفُسِهِمْ. أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الصَّادِقُونَ. Such are those who are the truthful ones. Truthful to what? Saying, آمَنْتُ بِاللَّهِ آمَنَّا بِاللَّهِ. They are truthful in their claim, أَنَا مُؤْمِن, by behavior and action. And not having any doubts. So that's a verse that differentiates, and it also, more importantly, in fact, it shows actually how the word Islam can be very superficial. That's how it's describing it. Yeah? وَلَكِنْ قُولُوا أَسْلَمْنَا. أَسْلَمْنَا. We have submitted, but It's saying iman hasn't, proper iman hasn't entered your hearts. But if you continue to have this attitude of wanting to obey Allah and His Messenger, it will come. So interesting how iman, yes, is talking about the inside, but it's still talking about the outside as well as iman. Yeah? Whereas the idea of Islam here, the word aslamna, is sort of being demoted to a level of you just submitted superficially. Some took from this ayah, Imam Bukhari is one of them, that is talking about the difference between real believers doing good deeds and munafiqeen. Because munafiqeen, they were in Medina. Did they submit? Actually, they did on a state level. They submitted to the state and to the Prophet ﷺ. But they were munafiqeen and the Prophet ﷺ knew them. They were causing trouble here and there. Superficially, they said, oh, we're believers. Because they used to come to the mosque, yeah? Although lazily, yeah? And they were joining in all the activities, but they were munafiq inside. Had they done silm or surrender, they had to the state and superficially, but they were munafiq. That's why Imam Bukhari says that this ayah is talking about from the Bedouin Arabs, those who were hypocrites. But Ibn Kathir and the majority say, no, it's not talking about hypocrites. Why? And I'm more in favor with that. Why? Because the ayah talks about, when it talks about munafiqs, it never talks about, yeah, giving them reward of their obedience to Allah and His Messenger. Allah wouldn't talk about munafiqs like that. Allah talks about munafiqs when they're hiding their hypocrisy, that they're going to go into hellfire. What did He say in these ayah about those who said aslamna? He says, وَإِن تُطِيعُوا اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ لَا يَلِتْكُم مِّنْ أَعْمَالِكُمْ شَيْئًا إِنَّ اللَّهَ غَفُرُ الرَّحِيمُ. So if you continue to obey Allah and His Messenger, Allah won't let your deeds go to waste. He'll reward you for it. Allah wouldn't say that to munafiqs. Yeah? So if you carry on, as Ibn Kathir says, the better idea is talking about new believers, new Bedouin Arabs who've just come, yeah? They've just come, found out about Allah and His Messenger, and they come forward and want to help and practice and they submit themselves, but iman properly hasn't entered their hearts. That's the difference here. Yeah? That's what the ayah is talking about. But that ayah is important. Why I mention it, more to do with the fact that iman there is linked with wajahadu bi amwalihim wa anfusihim fi sabilillah ulaika humus sadiqun. I mentioned many things even from hadith last time of the Prophet ﷺ talking about, like last time I mentioned the hadith famously known that al-iman bid'un wa sab'una shu'ba or bid'un wa sittuna shu'ba. Iman has more than 70 branches. A'laha qawl la ilaha illa wadnaha imatatul adha anit tariq wal haya shubatu min al iman. All those are, you know, 60 branches of iman, yeah, which is from the goal of the declaration of la ilaha to actually removing something harmful from the road and being modest, all linked with iman. That's all behavior, isn't it? Or the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam saying la yu'minu ahadukum hatta yuhibbu li akhihi ma yuhibbu li nafsihi. None of you truly has iman. No one of you truly has iman until they love for their brother or sister what they love for themselves. That's to do with behavior again, isn't it? Or the Prophet ﷺ said, Wallahi la yu'min. Wallahi la yu'min. Wallahi la yu'min. Qalu, man ya Rasulullah. By Allah, he said three times, this person doesn't believe, doesn't have iman. This person, by Allah, doesn't have iman. By Allah, this person doesn't have iman. Sahaba said, well, who's, Subhanallah, Ya Rasulullah, who are you talking about? Said, the Prophet ﷺ said, مَنْ لَا يَأْمَنُ جَارُهُ بَوَائِقَهُ. That person doesn't really believe whose neighbor is not safe from his harm. From his harm. Look how strong that is. And that's about behavior. And Prophet here is saying, and I want you to remember this now, because I'll mention it later again. La yu'min, what does that mean then? If they don't have iman, what do they have? If you didn't have iman, this person, what is it then? It's either iman or it's kufr. This is like saying somebody who harms their neighbor, faqad kafar, they have done kufr. Isn't that right? La yu'min means the same thing. True? True? It is true. It is true. Important to remember that. And let me mention another hadith. And then we'll go to the issue that I want to bring up. In another hadith, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, which is hadith mentioned in Tirmidhi and others as well. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam saying from Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, he says, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, La yazni al-zani wa huwa hina yazni mu'min. ولا يسرق السارق وهو حين يسرق مؤمن ولا يشرب الخمر وهو حين يشربها مؤمن ولا ينتهب نهبة يرفع الناس منها أبصارهم وهو حين ينتهبها مؤمن ولكن التوبة معروضة قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم في رواية في الترمذي وهو قال حديث Hasan al-Sahih. In this hadith, the Prophet ﷺ, Abu Hurairah says, the Prophet ﷺ said that when the adulterer is doing adultery, when they're doing it, they don't do it that when they have iman. And no thief steals something when they're stealing, that they have iman, that they are mu'min at the time. In other words, they are not mu'min when they are doing it. When the zani is doing zina, they are not mu'min at that time. There's no zani doing zina, that they are not mu'min. There's no stealer who's stealing, a thief stealing, that they are mu'min at the time. There's no drinker of khamar, drinking, knocking back alcohol at the time of knocking it back, that they are mu'min. They are not mu'min at the time. And there's no person who's doing daylight robbery and everybody's watching, taking from the people and people are looking on. When they are doing that plundering and robbery, they are not mu'min. Okay? This is in Bukhari Muslim and in Tirmidhi. In Tirmidhi also mentioned an interesting thing. The Prophet said at the end, however, tawbah is ma'rooda. The tawbah is considered. Tawbah from such persons, meaning afterwards, is considered by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, will be recognized, in other words, will be considered by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whether he wants to forgive them or not. Why do I mention this hadith? One aspect is it's showing you that, like la yu'min, here, same thing, isn't it? No zani is doing zina and they are mu'min. Okay? So if they are not, this is why the takfir groups that came, like Khawarij and Mu'tazila. Khawarij and Mu'tazila, and present day Khawarij as well. Based on this hadith and some other evidence I'm going to give you, they said a person who does a major sin like zina, drinking khamar and stealing, becomes kafir. Is kafir. Is that the position of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah? Why not? Hadith is saying, Hadith is saying it. They're not mu'min. That's the evidence they use.
So, isn't a mu'min a higher state of iman than Muslim or mu'min?
No. We clarified that last time. No.
There's different forms of kufr and shirk. There's kufr akbar and kufr asghar. So there's the minor kufr and there's the major kufr. So I'm not sure if all sins are, but some would fit into the minor.
These are major sins.
Yeah, but the major sins that aren't clear cut, like disbelief in Allah or shirk, they'd fall into the minor. So the act itself is major, but it doesn't take it out of the form of Islam.
That's what Ahle Sunnah wal Jama'ah argue. Good. Ahle Sunnah, but the evidence, you have to counter this evidence. Okay? First thing, besides that, what else do they use? They say that Iblis didn't reject Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He committed a sin, yeah, and he continued with that sin, and for that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls him kafir, leader of the kuffar, and will go to hellfire. In other words, they're saying he didn't reject Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he just committed a major sin and carried on with that major sin, and he's going to go to hellfire, and therefore any believer, mu'min, also doing major sin, also comes under the category of kafir, like Iblis. That's one of their evidences. The other evidence they use is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, وَمَنْ يَقْتُلْ مُؤْمِنًا مُتَعَمِّدًا فَجَزَاؤُهُ جَهَنَّمُ خَالِدًا فِيهَا وَغَضِبَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَلَعَنَهُ وَأَعَدَّ لَهُ عَذَابًا عَظِيمًا. In this ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, whoever kills a believer, a mu'min, on purpose, then their recompense is hellfire, jahannam. Yeah? They will live there, khalidan fiha, they will be there forever. Khalidan fiha. And Allah's anger will be upon them and his curse. And Allah has prepared for such a person a great punishment, azab and azima. The second evidence they use with that, they're saying, look, killing of a person, a believer on purpose, murder, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying which is a kaba'ir. Yeah. Which is from the major sins. And Allah saying he's going to give this person punishment in hellfire forever, which is the punishment of kuffar. That's the argument. The punishment of kuffar is hellfire forever and ever. So that's the second of the evidences they use. And the third one is this one, which is about the person not being a believer when they do drink khamar or do zina or steal, etc. Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah dealt with all these three evidences. Firstly, to do with Iblis, they said. Actually, Iblis did reject Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He didn't just commit a sin. Otherwise, the sin of disobedience was committed by Adam alayhi salam and Hawa as well. But is there a difference between the sinning in Jannah, same situation, Iblis, Adam and Hawa are disobeying Allah? Iblis is disobeying from prostrating, doing sujood before Adam alayhi salam, and Adam and Hawa disobeyed from eating from the tree. When they were forbidden to, they ate from it. On the surface, both looks the same, but there's a massive difference in their attitude. So Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah said, if you don't recognize the difference between those two, you don't recognize what Iblis is really about. Iblis's attitude towards Allah was of jahd, of rejection. He made himself superior and he refused. He refused to obey Allah blatantly. He made what he did acceptable and halal. That is rejecting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whereas Adam and Hawa did tawbah, accepted what they did was wrong and disobedience to Allah. There's a massive difference. So Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah say, no, Iblis did reject Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So therefore, in Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, it's not that you do the kaba'ir and you become kafir. But if you do kaba'ir, drink khamar, do zina, and say it is allowed in Islam to drink khamar and do zina, now you become kafir. See the difference? It's called doing istihlal from yourself. You are making halal which Allah made haram. So now you are rejecting and challenging God. Now you become kafir. Now you become, not by doing the sin. Because even though you do the sin, and when we come to hadith of la yazni, yeah, nobody does zina from the and they're not believer while they're doing it. At the end, interesting, in the same hadith, that one, The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, وَلَكُمْ سَلَامُ اللَّهِ وَلَكِنِ التَّوْبَةِ مَعْرُوضَةِ Tawbah is still possible. So if Tawbah is considered, Tawbah is considered from the zani and from doing anybody doing kaba'ir, it means they still have a chance of forgiveness and not going into hellfire forever and ever. Let me finish, you can ask them. And thirdly, to do with the one killing the believer on purpose, the murder, as Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah say, you can't use a specific crime and now do analogy from that and say all kaba'ir come under the same as killing a mu'min. Killing a mu'min has been treated very severely. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, Khalidan fiha, he will dwell therein forever. And Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah say that there is a possibility of that for such a person. Why would it be a possibility when they'll justify and not recognize and do tawbah? That's like Iblis doing jahad, isn't it? If somebody kills on purpose a mu'min, innocent, as a murderer, and now justifies and says, I didn't do any wrong. That's different. So the warning is given that that could be kufr actually, isn't it? That could be kufr, could it not? So therefore the warning is given. You can't use the murder case to do analogy on all the rest of the kaba'ir of stealing, drinking khamr, doing zina, and saying it's all in the same basket. No, you can't. You can't do that. And you can't take that verse on its own. Because in the same Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَغْفِرُ أَن يُشْرَكَ بِهِ وَلَكِنْ يَغْفِرُ مَا دُونَ ذَلِكَ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ. Surely Allah, the only thing He doesn't forgive, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَغْفِرُ أَن يُشْرَكَ بِهِ. He doesn't forgive, Allah surely does not forgive anybody that He associated doing shirk with Him. He doesn't forgive shirk. And then the Quran says, وَيَغْفِرُ and he forgives everything aside from that shirk for whomever He wills. That is the overarching ayah which covers all the other ayahs. And the other ayah of qatl, muta'ammidan, must be read with that ayah in mind. Then it will make you realize that this is killing is not the shirk and kufr of those who have been promised hellfire. Shirk is hellfire forever and ever. And kufr, shirk with kufr. This is not that same kufr and shirk. Okay? So that's how these evidences. Further, in one of the versions of the hadith, which is also in Tirmidhi and from Abu Huraira from the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, إِذَا زَنَ الْعَبْدِ خَرَجَ مِنْهُ الْإِيمَانِ فَكَانَ فَوْقَ رَأْسِهِ كَالظُّلَّةِ فَإِذَا خَرَجَ مِنْ ذَلِكَ الْعَمَلِ عَادَ إِلَيْهِ الْإِيمَانِ. Smashes that idea, doesn't it? Of what those others ones were saying, that anybody doing kaba'ir has become come kafir. Hadith itself, same compilation of hadith from Abu Huraira at Tirmidhi, who said hadith Hasan al-Sahih. In this one, the Prophet said, when a slave does zina, the iman, like the other hadith said, leaves that slave. But where is it? It is hovering over his or her head, like a cloud over the head. And when he comes out from that kabira, from the zina, for example, stops doing it, what happens? إِذَا خَرَجَ مِنْ ذَلِكَ الْعَمَلِ عَادَ إِلَيْهِ الْإِيمَانِ. The iman comes back. It hasn't gone forever. The hadith itself is an evidence, and against those who said this person become kafir. The Prophet ﷺ, iman has come back. Because that's what's going to make them do tawbah and ask for forgiveness. Iman wouldn't come back with a person who now says zina is allowed, I can do it. That's kufr. Okay? So that's to rebuttal those Khawarij Their position is that. That's why they said at the time of Ali radiallahu anhu and Muawiyah, they said Ali has committed a big sin, kaba'ir, become kafir. Takfir of Ali radiallahu anhu. Muawiyah has done a big sin, become kafir. So now we can kill them. This is where they came from. Yeah. So anybody, in fact, who disagreed with their interpretation of the Quran and Sunnah, what did they call them? From the believers? Kafir. So therefore, what did they say? Now we can kill them. Hence they're fighting with believers and with Ahli Sunnah wal Jama'ah. And Khawarij, who went out on this basis. This is their position. And the position who do takfir nowadays. Yeah? The groups, the violent groups of extremists who do takfir nowadays. Or they're living in kufr state. They are with the kafirs, so they are traitors, so they are kafir. They don't recognize, they have rejected our khilafah. Yeah? They have rejected our khilafah. Big sin. What do they become? Kafir. All Muslims. So what can we do? We can now fight them and kill them. This is the same idea. And its foundation is this idea, what I've mentioned to you, about making the doers of kaba'ir into kuffar. Mu'tazila, who are Qadriya, and I mentioned Qadriya to you earlier on, Mu'tazila Qadriya, in their aqidah to do with Qadr. And Mu'tazila also, when it came to this, had an interesting position, based on that same hadith of no zani does zina while they're doing it, that they are not mu'min. On that same hadith, Mu'tazila said, yeah, so they're not a believer. So what are they? They didn't go as far as Khawarij. They didn't say they are kafir. Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah said such a person is fasiq. They done fisk. They broke the rule. They did a sin. Ma'asiyah. Yeah? They're asi. Doer of sin. They have to do tawbah. They must do tawbah for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Mu'tazila said, no, they're not fasiq. And they're not kafir either. So what are they, Mu'tazila? So Mu'tazila said, they are between the two. Manzil, baina manzilatayn. That's their position. That's one of their creeds of Mu'tazila. That the one who is the doer of kaba'ir sits between manzilatayn. They are not mu'min anymore. They're not believer. And they are not kafir. But baina manzilatayn, they sit somewhere in the middle. They don't even accept them as fasiq. Because fasiq is still a mu'min. Fasiq still has opportunity for doing tawbah and asking forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they can only do that if they're believers. Yeah. If they believe it. So this is the position of Mu'tazila in this regard, using that same evidence. Now, interestingly, this issue of Iman and Kufr also is a famous issue that is used in regards to something very special, which is leaving Salah. Those who don't pray five times a day. It's a classical debate from the time of Imam Shafi'i and Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal, classically, from those times that comes. And it came because, and actually, it came because of some riwayah which are authentic, a hadith of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. In one, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, "Bayn al-rajul wa bayn al-kufr, tarkus salah." Bain al-rajul wa bain al-kufr, tarkus salah. Between a person, meaning being a believer, and kufr, being kafir or doing kufr, is leaving salah. Yeah, and in another hadith, the Prophet said, this is in Ahmad al-Muslim, authentic hadith, Sahih Muslim. Al-ahad alladhi bainana wa bainahum as-salah, faman tarakaha faqad kafar. The pact between us and them is... between us and them is us, the Salah, the five daily Salah. And whoever leaves it, فَمَنْ تَرَكَهَا has indeed done kufr. Which is reported in Ahmad and in the Sunan. Both of these are authentic. This is actually now, if you look at it, it's kufr. For salah. So now it's not Khawarij who are saying kufr. The hadith is saying it. So Ahmad ibn Hanbal and the Hanabila and the Dahriya school of thought, the madhab, went down the road and saying one who doesn't pray five times a day is a kafir. They should be killed. They're murtad, actually. Murtad is another topic I don't want to open up today because it's a big topic in itself. And I did a paper on that some years ago. Well, I don't want to open that topic for today. We haven't got time. Anyway, so this is a position of Ahmad ibn Hanbal, the Hanabila and the Zahriya school of thought. But you know what? The position of the other schools of thought isn't that pleasant either. Hanafiya were the best on this particular one. What did they say? They said one who doesn't pray out of laziness or whatever reason, not the one who's rejecting there is no five daily prayers in Islam. Anybody who says there is no five daily prayers in Islam becomes a kafir. Haqiqatan. For sure. Because now they've done something else. Yeah, they've actually broken the principles of Islam, which are in Quran and Hadith. When you do that claim, that's a different category. Everybody who's agreed with that, all the madahid, all ulama, all the ummah has agreed that that person is saying kufr. We don't say they necessarily become a kafir even then, because they may be ignorant, they may have misunderstood, so you need to explain to them. Yeah, they may never know have known that, they may be new into Islam and they don't know, so you don't outrightly suddenly call them, you say this is kufr, brother, what you're saying, be careful. Yeah? This is wrong what you're saying. So that's a different issue. We're talking about Hanafiya said one who left salah, and all of them are talking about one who left doing salah, as is nowadays, because they're just careless, lazy, can't be bothered, yeah? If they reject it, it's a different ball game. The one who did that. Hanafiya says we should imprison them. Imprison them. And we should tell them they have to do tawbah. Yeah? And start praying five times a day. If they do that, let them out of prison. Shafi'i and Malikiya, they said, they are fasiq, like Hanafiya said, fasiq, and they must do tawbah. If they don't do tawbah, they become kafir and you should kill them. Went down the same route as Hanabila, but they gave them opportunity to do tawbah, etc. So this was the position. Now, if we look at the statements, nevertheless, these weren't the only statements which used kufr or the absence of iman. We've already given hadith earlier where absence of iman is mentioned with the kabair. Yeah? La yazni zani. Yeah? No zani does zina. That he's not a believer at the time. They're not believers. What are they then? If the Prophet ﷺ said that he or she is not mu'min, just like in the case of Wallahi la yu'min. And I said to you, I'll mention that hadith again. By Allah, he or she is not a mu'min. So what are they then? It means they're kafir. It's like saying, faqad kafir. The one from whom the neighbor is not safe from their harm. Faqad kafir. You could say those words, couldn't you? It's the same as saying, wallahi la yu'min. He said it three times, subhanAllah. Not once, three times. So you could use that hadith to say they've done kufr as well. Does that mean we should kill the one about whom the Prophet ﷺ said, La yu'min three times, because they've done something harmful for the neighbor? So do we kill them as well or imprison them? No. No. Secondly, beyond those hadith, when Prophet ﷺ said, La yu'minu ahadukum hatta yuhibbu li akhihi ma yuhibbu li nafsi, none of you truly believes, has iman, La yu'min, until you love for your brother or sister what you love for yourself. So if you don't do that, what does that mean? فَقَدْ كَفَرْ. You've done kufr. Really, that's what it means. لا يؤمن. لا يؤمن means kufr. That's another example of, you could then say, oh well, that person's become kafir, we should kill them as well. Other hadith which mentions similar ideas, Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam saying, سَبَابُ الْمُسْلِمْ فِسْكْ وَقَتْلُهُ كُفْرٌ. Yeah. Insulting of a believer is kufr, is fisk. Yeah. Is like disobedience, is doing wrong, is sinful, and killing is kufr. That's the same debate from the Quran that we talked about earlier, about killing, about its warning. And then the Prophet ﷺ said, من أتى الكاهن فيصدق ما يقول فقد كفر بما أنزل على محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. Prophet ﷺ said in authentic hadith, he said, whoever goes to a soothsayer, these fortune tellers, and accepts what the fortune teller says, they have done kufr in what was sent down upon Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So now the one who going to fortune tellers and accepts that hadith is saying they've done kufr. Do we put them, therefore, we should do, if we put those hadith to do with salah in the category of kufr to be killed, this one should go in the same category, should it not? It should, because it's got the same evidence. فَقَدْ كَفَرْ. So this person should be killed as well, if the one who is not praying five times a day should be killed as well. This one should be imprisoned, according to the Hanafis, if that one should be imprisoned for leaving five daily salahs. Reality is no. That's not to take away from the fact that leaving five daily salah is a big sin. Hence the word kufr is being used by the Prophet ﷺ. And like the Quran used, وَمَنْ لَمْ يَحْكُمْ بِمَا أَنْزَلَ اللَّهُ فَأُولَئِكَ هُمُ الظَّالِمُونَ وَمَنْ لَمْ يَحْكُمْ بِمَا أَنْزَلَ اللَّهُ فَأُولَئِكَ هُمُ الْفَاسِقُونَ وَمَنْ لَمْ يَحْكُمْ بِمَا أَنْزَلَ اللَّهُ فَأُولَئِكَ هُمُ الْكَافِرُونَ. Those who don't judge by what Allah has sent down, such are those who are wrongdoers. Those who don't judge by what Allah has sent down, such are those who are fasiq, who are wrongdoers. Those who don't judge by what Allah has sent down, such are those who are kafirun. And when the word kufr is used here, Abdullah ibn Abbas says in the tafsir to this ayah, he says, radiallahu anhuma, he says, this is kufr, الذي لا يخرجه من الدين, من الإيمان. This is the kufr, kufr asghar that you mentioned, the smaller kufr. The word kufr is used to show the seriousness of the action and behavior. Not to say this is the haqiqah. That's why Ibn Abbas is saying, an authentic athar from him, narration from him, this is the kufr which doesn't take you out of the deen. In other words, you don't become a disbeliever in reality. The Quran is using it there. So the same way we understand when the hadith uses it for the tariq salah, the leaver of salah, five daily salahs, or the one who leaves one out of the five regularly, one who leaves four out of the five, three out of the five, they're all in the same category, because five is the minimum from the fara'id. Ata ibn Abi Rabah from the Tabi'een, he said about this ayah, kufr duna kufr. Like double Dutch, but it's not. Kufr duna kufr. It's kufr without kufr. That's what he's saying. It is kufr, but it is not that you become kafir. Yeah? So that's, I believe, the best way to understand the other hadith to do with salah. This is a debate, as I said to you, historical debate of those. In reality, if we applied from historically to this time, you will see that this debate and these conclusions in regards to the tariq salah of Hanafiya, Shafi'iyya, Malikiyya, and Hanabila and Zahiriyya are theoretical, which were not actually carried out. Otherwise, there is not one instance in the history of the Ummah where a judge has ruled one who has left Salah to be killed or imprisoned. And if we apply that today, if we take the easier position of the Hanafis, how many Muslims will be in prison?
Millions.
Majority.
Billions.
Yeah. Majority. How big is the prison going to be? The whole country needs to become a prison to apply the Hanafi rule. True? In other words, it's not acceptable. I don't accept it. This is not acceptable. This position is not acceptable. It is a theoretical position which ignores the reality of what the word kufr is being used as. If we apply the humbly opinion, how many Muslims are going to be killed? You'd be killing them day and night every day. And you wouldn't finish killing them. True? On that basis, do we accept those positions of the great imams? No, we love them, we respect them. I don't accept those positions. Because if you applied them and accept them, then you better apply it. And see what happens. See how many you have to imprison, how many you have to kill. Shafi and Maliki are the same. Finally, if I don't pray five times a day, and now out of the threat of the Hanabila and Ahmad ibn Hanbal of being killed, or out of the threat of the Hanafiya who are going to imprison me, I start praying, is my prayer accepted? Is my prayer accepted? Tell me.
No.
Because my niyyah is not khalisan lillah. It is out of fear of imprisonment or fear of being killed I am praying. So I am praying superficially. My prayer is not accepted anyway. So why would I be praying? You understand how the implications of this position. So this is to do with iman and kufr. And it's an old debate. And I wanted to mention it. Next time inshallah we'll move on to ihsan and the other aspects of the hadith. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us, guide us. I hope you've learned something useful. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept from us.